said, would you make a comment or two regarding the progression of going to this preconditioned sale at, through the Smoky Mountain Theater Cats Association sale?
Sure will, Clyde, and I get a little nervous sitting down. I used to be a school teacher, and I got to move or do something. I feel like I'm tied up if I can't move, so I'm going to stand here just a minute. But, you know, we've been in the feeder calf business over in the eastern part of Tennessee there for about 40 years. A lot of people in this room know the guy that started that business for us, a fellow by the name of Joe Houston. Looked out there and saw some folks like Sam Bailey that have been buying cattle all over this state for years that worked with Joe back then. But we've had a heck of a learning curve. You know, we've seen a lot of improved genetics. And the one thing that we found as a problem, and I'm going to be very frank with you and tell you what that problem is, it's not the genetics. It's not the cattle. It's us, or we, the producer. You know, we design everything to make our cattle grow, gain weight, do those kinds of things. If you go out and look where we're weaning cattle today, you see that the bunk feeders are set on a 90-degree angle from the fences. The waterers are in strategic locations. So we're doing our job there. But where I think we're lacking in some cases is we can't educate our producer. That's hard to do. We spend a lot of time trying to do that. And we're getting there. We're getting there. But why are we getting there? They are beginning to see some of these figures that Clyde put up. Very important to them. Very important. Because those dollars are adding up. That guy's buying a new pickup truck with the return. And that's where the rubber meets the road, where the money comes in. You know, we can talk about a lot of things, but till you see the result, that's where it's at. I look back there, and I see that we're well represented here. I see Johnny Crouch sitting back in the back. Somebody said he had something to do with the Angus Association. Is that right? Johnny, glad to have you. I see another guy out here that has helped us tremendously in our endeavors across the state in the last year that's made an impact in our cattle business. And that's Jim Neal sitting back there. Jim, raise your hand. Just excellent support that we get. We couldn't get where we are today without the efforts of a lot of good people like Clyde Lane and Jim and people like Johnny Kraft. I could sit here and talk all afternoon, but I promised a blonde-headed lady that I'd be somewhere else in a few minutes to be able to get up on the stage and scream howdy to all you folks that have come to Tennessee to this convention. So, Clyde, I'm going to leave, and the rest of these guys can answer questions. And if you need somebody else up here, call on Jim Neal.
Anybody got a quick question for him? I'm not going to let him get away that quick.
Or you've got John West back there. He can do this, too, better than I can. Anybody have a question for me? I will say one last remark about the cattle business in Tennessee. The one thing that we've learned, and I think learned well with the help, aid, and support of a lot of people, is we have found that the cattle business now is a customer-based business. Now, think about that. Customer-based. Our customers out there, the feeders or whoever buys these cattle, are coming to us and saying, hey, we want this, and we're willing to pay. Now it's up to you. And that's important. We've got to put a product out there that that customer wants. And with that, I'm going to hush and go. I promised I'd be there.
Thank you, Dave.
When do you weigh your cattle? Weigh them when they go into the sale. They're graded at the sale and then weighed and then pinned. And so the weight is up front. Now, we've got a lot of producers that weigh cattle and know what their records are all the way through. You know, a lot of producers do that now. Some of them can, some of them are small and don't have the facility to do that. But we do weigh them in at the feeder sale.
May have several producers in the group, though.
Yes, sir.
Going into the sale range. So those cattle are all figured on that average.
Well, they're all weighed individually, and we weigh those cattle on 50-pound increments. They're all in pens on 50-pound increments at our sale.
The weight is increasing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We want to know our
running. Yeah. Right. Anything else before I go? Pleasure being here, Clyde.
Thank you, Dave.
Pleasure talking to this group. Thank you.
All right. I don't know which one of you fellows want to go first, representing the Giles County Alliance. You know, they've come a long ways in about a four-year time period. I know, you know, all these alliances and everything, they sound great, you know, and we've got some good numbers and so forth, but is it all real easy and a lot of fun to get started? I'm going to throw that question out first and let you folks proceed from there.
Well, I'll start. I see T. Reed raise your hand, and Steve Scott was here a while ago. Steve was our first president 4 years ago. It was just a group of us that got together through, I guess, through the help of James Dennis, the extension agent. He said, you know, there's got to be a better way to market these cattle. And so we got together and tried to. We just started with a blank sheet of paper. We really didn't know what we were doing, and as far as everybody had different ideas, and tried to develop something that we could all live with. And it hasn't been easy at all. There's been a, if you get 10 farmers together and all try to come up with the same way. I know I was in the purebred Gelby business, and Gelbys was not one of the breeds that we elected to make sires out of, so I had to sell my Gelby bulls and get Angus bulls, because it was Angus red and black, and Hereford and Charlotte. We worked with Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau provided us with a geneticist, and we had certified herds, and was able to mate them, so we were able to establish a genetic element there. And you know, how many people with 35 head can afford a geneticist? You know, but working together, we're able to buy, lease bulls. We got financing available through banks. We can do, put together anything you want. There's no excuse for us not to have bulls that will meet the genetic potential. Another thing I had to do was I used to clamp my cattle, and we had knife castrate. And that was the biggest thing. You'd think that just little bitty things are what brings about divisions. In some of these things and trying to work things together. I just paid $150 for a brand new mastulator, and I had to quit using it. So I bought me a Newberry knife and had to learn how to do it. I'll just tell you a personal story. First calf we got in the chute, I couldn't cut it. I just could not bring myself to cut that calf. I don't know how many of you knife castrate, but I couldn't do it. And so we had to turn it out. And then the next calf kicked me, and I cut him, and I've been cutting. So I just want to tell you that that it can be done, and tell you the truth, it's a lot easier, and I haven't had a bit of trouble with cutting them, and that was part of it. We elected to, they could be banded up to 2 weeks of age, and then they had to be knife cut after that. So those are our programs. We just recently, let's see, some of the other things that had to start doing was we all had to be BQA certified, which 4 years ago, that didn't mean anything to anybody. We'd fill out those papers and take them to when we'd deliver the calves, and the order buyers didn't want us to know where the calves was going. They didn't know want the people that bought them to know where they came from. So they weren't going to leave a paper trail, so all the papers got left at the stockyard. Well, the last group of calves we sold, they called back 3 days later and said, have y'all still got them papers? And they said, yeah, we still got them. They said, well, send them to us, because they're not going to pay for the cattle till they get them. So, just like Doc and feeder tails, feeder pig tails, at some point in time, they're going to say, they are going to be BQA cattle, or we're not going to pay for them. And so I think that's coming. Another thing I personally had to do was cut my chutes down. I think they're supposed to be 26 inches, is that right, instead of 34 inches. And because BQA certified, the shots had to be given in the neck instead of in the rump. And I was just putting them IC in the calf instead of, you know, because why? Nobody told me I had to do anything different, you know. And so now I have a protocol that we have to do. And so I've learned to tent and give shots in the neck, and then we'll have to boost them 14 days instead of 6 months later. You know, I was giving them two shots. And then James Dennis asked me about my calving interval. You know, he said we had to cut it down to 90 days. I said, James Dennis, I'm already on an 85-day calving interval. I got 85 cows, and they only calve one day a year. And so they calved year-round. So we've tried grouping those down and trying to get them closer. I had seven calves born one day. I was jumping them like rabbits out there in a bunch of pasture. I hadn't experienced that before. So these are just some of the things that, you know, I thought I was doing different. You know, thought I was doing everything right. And the incentive wasn't there for me to do it. It wasn't written down. We were keeping records. That wasn't a problem. So record keeping involved. But we have analyzed, and these figures that he gives hold up true. We're getting $50 a head across the board. We've had one producer that just believed in feeding cow. Wasn't that right, T, that on those calves that lost? They were on feed from the time they hit the ground to the time they went to, and they were about 1,000 pounds, and they're trying to work them in with the load. And nobody's going to pay for 7 and 8 weight, you know, body scores when the rest of them is 5. So that was the reason for the what ones in the brackets. And he's learned that he can save a little feed cost by getting them too fat. So, those are just some of the things in agreement. You just have to stay with it. You know, there are people that are going to get upset. The main thing we've learned out of the alliance is that if it's a lot easier for you to find an alliance that works with you than you to change the alliance. And by that, what I'm saying is that find something. There's hundreds of alliances. And I think, you know, find something that works for you. That you set your own goals. What are you wanting to do? But if you can't tell your story, when I was doing all these things I thought was right and I was taking them down to the sale barn, I'm not throwing off on sale barns. Thank God we need them. But the reason that the cattle bring more now is because I can tell somebody what I've done to them. And if you can't tell somebody why your product's worth more, then they're not going to pay you for it. And that's the difference between these alliances, is because you're able to tell your story. I'd like for everybody, I've got some brochures here that our good buddy Keith Harrison was able to put together for us in the back. We've been able to work with Tennessee Farmers Co-op, Farm Bureau, Pick Tennessee. We're a Pick Tennessee product. We've been able to market our cattle and get them through. Here's our programs. We have a booth downstairs on the main floor, and we're in the Tennessee Cattlemen's Hospitality Room. If you have any questions, I'll shut up. I'm not trying to take too much time.
I think you can see here real quick, like, that you know, just doing the right things by yourself doesn't get it done. And in working with the folks down there, it's been pretty obvious. Some of them had to make some pretty major shifts in the timing and what they would do, and some give and takes. But you know, I think that is a key thing. And, you know, we as beef producers and farmers, we want that independence. But, you know, when you really get down to it, Tom, probably now it's not any more difficult than it was before. It's just a matter of mind over matter to get synchronized with everybody else. Then it all works, and it's no big deal.
That's right.
Dennis, you got a few comments, please?
Well, if somebody told me 4 years ago that you'd ever got three people in Giles County willing to work together from a farm standpoint, I said it's crazy as hell. But they proved me wrong. And we started on this, as Tom said, we had a lot of changes to make. We went through and surveyed everybody in the group. We had about 35 producers that we went out and personally visited with to see if they'd be interested in getting involved in something like this. Well, some found out they thought it was going to be easy, but when they got involved, they found out it was a little different. And so we wound up with about 30 producers really actively involved in it. And those at different stages, you might consider we had people from 5 cows to T over here got 350 cows. Quite a difference in operations. We've got over 1,200 cattle producers in Giles County alone. It's
470-something of those we found out this week. It's got over 50 cows or more. But trying to get all these people to sit down and work together and communicate and getting organized is one of the key issues. And that's not going to let anybody tell you. When you want to start on something like this, it's going to be real easy. Now, I went to Nebraska, and I visited Operation 2 up there, and we're over to Iowa, and talked with people in Kentucky and North Carolina and Georgia and other places around, Virginia, Buckingham County, and others, see what they've done. What we try to do is I try to pull those good things out of there that they had, and I try to disintegrate this over to our people and get them to hopefully agree on some of that. Well, they did agree on some of it. Some of it they didn't agree on. We're still battling that. It's still a constant battle. You know, castration was one thing. Now, he was clamping his, so I had to tell him to throw that thing away. First year, we were 33% were clamping, 33% were banding, 30% were now castrating, and the rest of that percentage didn't know what they were doing. They weren't doing anything. We have got out and we have preached crossbreeding. Well, we didn't tell them how many times to do that. We got what we call some real composites in Giles County. So now what we're doing is we're using Angus bulls, Charley bulls, and Hereford bulls. These can be horned or polled, and they can be red Angus or black Angus. About 90% of ours are black Angus, sire. So we're trying to cut down on what I term mongrelization. I just stepped it up a little and called it composites to make them feel better. But to get people to talk, some of these people didn't know each other, lived in the county for 50 or 60 years, but they didn't know each other, and trying to get them together and get them to communicate with each other. And organization is a key to it, folks. You got to be organized. And you've got to determine what the needs are and what the issues are and how you can go about solving those issues. We've got a lot of information. I've talked to a lot of people about this. Right now, we've got about 48 producers involved in it. There's around 4,000-something cows involved in it. We need to be at 10,000 cows. We're expanding. We now have 5 counties in Tennessee with us, along with 1 county in Alabama. And we need somehow to dissolve the situation. We market our cattle in a sale 1 county to the east of us, which in some cases puts some of these people 65 to 70 miles away. We take the cattle in the day that they are sold on video auction. We were just going out videoing these cattle like we do all of our video cattle, putting them in a catalog, and it was estimated weights. What the group decided they wanted to do was go in, weigh the cattle up, that morning of the actual sale that night on video. We would have all the weights, they'd be graded, and they'd be sorted by weight ranges. And we'd try to get it down to 100-pound weight spread. And we did that, and of course what we did is we eliminated the sliding scale on it. And the no-sale deal, we eliminated that. We had a no-sale deal in there, and you could no-sell them if you want to, but that was left up to the group and getting the group together and decide this. So we had, I think it was 13 producers took part in one sale together to make up trailer truckload lots. Now, you know, as cattlemen, how hard it is to come up with trailer truckload lots when you got producers running from 5 cows to 350. It's not very hard for these 350-cow folks or these 200-cow folks to do it. But when you get all these other little ones out there and try to get them to do it and get them on the same wavelength as everybody else, that's not easy to do. And when we started telling them they're going to have to castrate with a knife, I caught some real cussings over it. So we finally backed up. They finally backed up and agreed to let the people band them up to 14 days of age. After that, they must be now castrated. They are vaccinated with a booster shot. We prefer they give those shots 2 to 3 weeks prior to weaning, come back a week after weaning and give them a booster. And we do bunk break for 45 days. I had a real battle on that job getting that done. They want to do it 30 days, and a lot of them didn't want to do it, period. And we're working with some people in a neighboring county right now to see if they will put together a custom backgrounding operation for us, where we can background those calves for those producers who don't feel like they can do it, don't have the facilities to do it, or they're kind of like some of us. They're getting on up in years and they don't want to fool with doing it. You know? But we already saw here today from these two presentations how much money you can make if you run them on pasture in your background. So I think it behooves us to do that. We found out this year we had 1,325 head of cattle sold together from 27 different producers in these different counties, including our county, and they brought in over $60,000 additional revenue above expense. So that was somewhere between $45 and $47 a head. All, that's everything. So we're trying to eliminate those offside county cattle. We want them to be number ones if we can make them be number ones. We want them to be the very best product that we can provide for the consumer, because each of us in this room are food producers. That's a little hard to get used to. We always say we're a beef producer, we're a cattleman, but we're really a food producer because we're providing food for the next person on up the line. Somewhere, one of these days, all this is going to be traced back to where it comes from. And this is another thing we'd like to get done. We'd like to get the information from these carcasses so we can utilize that in what we're doing out there. If we can get that done, then we can really make some progress over what we're doing now.
They told us that we need to run too awful long, so I'm going to stop the fellas right here and take some questions.
A what? The question was, why are we having a moratorium on banding at such an early age?
Let me answer that.
All right.
Because we didn't want to band at all, and we had some that wanted to when they hit the ground. So we said, well, if you do it 2 months, and it was a compromise there, 2 weeks, 2 weeks of age. And so it was a compromise among the group. And that's why there was some kind of give and take.
You know, we had people out in Nebraska in that area out there told us that if you don't bump break them 45 days, you don't give them an initial shot and a booster, similar product, and you don't castrate them with a knife, we're not interested in talking to you. I brought this back, sent it on the table to them. Some of them scratched their head. Some of them's face got red. Some of them, we ain't going to do it. I've had people walk out of the room and say, we're not going to do that. But some of their children were there in the room with them and said, Daddy, come back in here. We're going to do it. So, you know, it just...
Let me make a comment about that, too. People that he went to, talked to, and gave them all this ideas and said, y'all, you know, we need a calves during the fall, and y'all do all that. They've never bid on the first load of calves. So thing is, you know, you got to find out who your customers are.
One other thing I'd like to say, and there may be some stockyard operators in here, and we need you bad. But let me say this. We have had some producers in our county that are not members of the Beef Alliance, who will never be members of the Beef Alliance because they're not the type of people. They're too independent. They won't cooperate. But I'll tell you what they did last year and what they did just this past month. Six different producers in our county got together with around 600 head of cattle and sold them together. Truckload lots, and all they come back saying, we got the best prices given in the United States of America today. We really did good. They really bragging about it. And you know what? That wouldn't have happened, I don't think, if it hadn't been for the Giles County Beef Marketing Alliance. Same thing is happening on some of the stock markets around. Some of them are doing special sales. Different companies are doing special sales where they're getting people to do other things. And it all happened because of the work of many of you out there in other states and so forth that we have tried to look at and improve our cattle.